Psalm 34. Open your Bibles to Psalm 34, if you would. It's been great to be with you. This is the hardest service to preach. I mean, you're full, you're tired. We need to cut the air down about 5 more degrees to keep us awake. But no, seriously, any church service, after a church luncheon, I mean, and you always give that to the associate pastor because you don't want to preach it. Right? Yeah. Oh, me. Title of this message is Simple Instructions in Complicated Times. So is my mic on okay? Guys, am I on okay? Sound booth? Okay, I'm good. All right. Simple instructions in complicated times, because there are seasons, there are situations that come up in our lives we don't know what to do. We don't. Whether we're spiritually paralyzed or whatever, or just don't know where to turn. And back in several years ago when we were, so we now moved back to where I pastored, but we were away for a while back to our home church that we were sent out of. Anyway, one of the men brought a message of praying the Psalms back to the Lord. And Psalm 34 is one of those. And he challenged us it was a men's meeting. He challenged us, okay, men, we need to learn to pray the Psalms. And if you look at Psalm 34, you look at verse 19, it says, many, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Amen. So that caught my attention. And then on May 14th of 2020, I had my eye accident. And I was using a workout band, long story short, and it ruptured my eye socket. And began a 14-month journey of having the eye, hoping it would get, you know, all this stuff. But I was in a lot of pain. I didn't know what to do. But I remember Psalm 34. And so what I'm saying, there are times we don't know what to do. And it's interesting because you look at Psalm 34, it's laid out, you know, what an acrostic is. So if we're in English, verse 1 would be A, verse 2 would be B, verse 3 would be C, all the way throughout. And, you know, as children, when you memorize scriptures, the A verse is what? All is sin to come short of the glory of God. Or B, believe in the Lord Jesus. So there is some ways an acrostic is very helpful. And I think when you look at Psalm 34, I think it's laid out in such a way that helps us when we really don't know what else to do. I mean, at least with my personal life. So really, what I want to do, this is really just simply a testimony of my trial, my response to the trial, when I injured the eye and then when it came out 14 months later. And actually, this message, I actually preached this message before I lost my eye. So I preached this message because it meant so much to me during the months of, okay, is this going to stay? Is it, you know, I had no idea I was going to lose it till right before I lost it, okay. So I trust as we go through this that, again, there are times we really, and maybe you hadn't been there, but if you haven't, you're going to go there. Well, you just don't know what to do. So I challenge you, just get on your knees. Psalm 34 is one of those, there's several, that you just get on your knees and you pray it aloud. I mean, read it aloud. There's something about hearing. Remember scripture we're taught, you know, hearing the word. And so there is an aspect of hearing the word, because in the Old Testament, they couldn't read the word because not everybody had a scroll, right? So it was the hearing of the word. And so I think there is a power here, especially when you look at read the Psalm and get on your knees and just pray it aloud back to the Lord. Father, I beg of you that I thank you for the way this passage is ministered to my heart. And Father, I pray for those struggling right now or those that will be, that they will learn the power of prayer, especially praying your word. So Lord, you're so kind to us. Lord, you give us far more than we need. You're gracious to us. You give us Christ. You shed His blood to cover every single sin. So, Lord, may we humbly come before Your Word, just understanding the truths of this poem, of this writing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Two quick divisions, 1-7, I'm going to call your attitude. Okay, what should my attitude be towards trials? And I think in verses 1-3, my attitude will be, I will praise. Okay, I will. Notice verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast, where? In the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I think as you do this, and I think the writer, he determines this, and it is very intentional. And he says, I will bless and I will praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. I personally think that refers back to meditation, that His praise will be in my mouth, because if it's in my mouth, it's going to come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm overplaying that. Maybe that He's just saying it comes out of my mouth either way. But He says, I will bless and I will praise. And then in verse 2, He says, I will boast. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. I will be glad. And verse 3, he says, Lord, use this, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So there's simply here the attitude of what we're going to do this. His praise shall continually be in my mouth every day at all times, even when we don't know what God is doing. And sometimes we're going to say, how did we get here? You know, I mean, really. I mean, the band I used that when the accident happened, I'd used it for years. And so, what just happened? How did we get here? What are we doing? But I do know that in doing so, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together, that in some ways I'm inviting others to come and do the same as I'm going through the trial. Oh, magnify the Lord, let us exalt His name together. But I have to determine to praise, and I'm only praising the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Verse 2, I will boast in the Lord. Verse 3, I will magnify the Lord. So in all three of these, it's His name is used in all three of these verses, and it's so important. So I guess my question is, how are you responding to your trial now or your next trial that's coming? I mean, and again, I think any trial you go through, especially if physical afflictions involved, boy, your emotions are all over the place. They really are. I mean, because pain does bring certain emotions, right? I mean, right? And it does. But notice what he says. I will bless the Lord at what? A-L-L. So regardless if I am where my emotions are, he says, okay, Marsh, this is what you need to do. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, coming out of my mouth, thinking and meditating on the truths of God and thinking through this. And even if the words coming out of my mouth have got to match what I'm praying back to God. And so what I'm saying is, as we pray Psalm 34 aloud, it helps us put words that we need to say in our mouth so we can say them, if that makes sense. So it says, I will praise, and then verses 4-7, I will pray. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. And here's our word again. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear Him and delivers them. So he's got to say, I will pray. I sought the Lord and He heard me. We've got to go to the Lord in prayer. We can't go away from Him. He sought the Lord and He cried. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. And well, how did the Lord respond? Look in verse 4. And delivered me from all my fears. Look at verse 5. They looked to him and they were lightened, or their faces were not ashamed. It's almost as though, you know, I'm a light-skinned guy and I live in the South where there's a lot of sun. And it's very obvious when I've been out in the sun. In fact, I have the scars to prove it, okay, with sun cancer. But anyway, the point is, when we spend time with God, there should be a countenance that changes. Whether that's peace or joy or just the countenance of reflecting time with God, I think as they looked to him and they were lightened. So this whole thing is, and if you go on to think through this, that all of the fears were removed. And then verse 7 is such a great promise. Think on this. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them. Okay, notice that clear phrasing. All the way around. The angel of the Lord encamps all the way around those that fear him. And it goes on to say, and delivers them. So the question is, and you can answer it, this is the kind of an informal service, who is the angel of the Lord? Bingo. It's Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And folks, this is a truth you have to meditate on when you're in the middle of a trial and you feel alone, discouraged. Now, I'll let you know, my wife stayed right near me all that time. But when an accident happens like that, or you're in the hospital, you're sick, and you're in the middle of the night and everybody else is sleeping and you're in pain and you can't sleep, you're alone. You feel lonely. But it says here, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. Because our thinking is not always biblical when we're in a trial or we're in pain or we're going through certain things of life. And what I'm saying, as we pray aloud the Psalms, it helps recalibrate our thinking so we can clearly say, I cried, the Lord heard me, verse 6, and he saved me. And not only that, but Lord, thank you for the angel of the Lord encamping around me. So this is what, you know, this is what happens. And if you go back up to verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from what? All of what? My what? All right, so when you're going through a struggle or trial, you know, I know the New Testament says take captive every thought, right? We're told that. But I'm telling you, when you're in the middle of something, what if? What if? Well, Lord, this is one eye. What happens if I lose the next? You know, you go down this road or, you know, you right? And so what it says here, that the Lord delivers from all of our fears. So what I'm saying is the Lord knows we're going to be fearful in certain seasons. And he's addressing that. So what I'm saying is don't act like we're some superhuman that we never fear. Fears are real. And here the writer is addressing it. He helps us deal with it. So these fears, whatever they may be, during a certain trial, you must understand God knows that. He addresses it. Because there are times when my thinking is not going to be in line with God's Word. When this accident happened on May 14th, 2020, you know, somewhere along in life, I may have become depressed. I don't know, but I never remember until this. And I called it a black hole. Because I could not get into bed. I had to sit in a recliner because I had to keep my head upright. But, you know, so I'm telling you, there is a black hole there. Now, if you've never experienced it, praise the Lord. If you have, you feel like you're getting sucked into it. I had never experienced this in my life. Never. And all of a sudden, it's there and it's real. And the fears are there. And I'm going into this black hole and Gretchen will come in. How you doing? What would I say? I'm trying to get out of my black hole. So, folks, these are real. They are a response to either our emotions or our physical. And it says here, I will deliver you. So, whatever your dark place is, I don't know, but what shall we do? Realize here, I am poor, verse 6. Lord, I need you. This poor man cried. But when you're in pain hour after hour, day after day, instead of crying in despair and in hopelessness, this poor man cried, and we cry to the Lord. So important that your attitude in the trials, you know, this first seven verses help us adjust to what it should be. And again, I'm just saying, pray this aloud. And then, what's the answer for your trials? Your answer, of course, is in the Lord. Look at verse 8. And I put 8 through 14 in this category. We need to respond to the Lord's invitation. So starting through verse 8 through verse 14, notice what it says in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there's no want to them that fear Him. Verse 10, oh yeah, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking evil. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So this whole thing of, you know, we want to respond to the Lord's invitation. Oh, taste and see. You know, taste and see what the Lord will do. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So this is a time of instruction over and over. And in 12 through 14, there's more instruction on what to do, you know, of how to seek the Lord. Come, seek, I will teach you. So during these times, this is that personal invitation from God of what He wants you to do. Right now, you're invited. And you're actually invited to that personal experience the Lord is working on your behalf. Again, look at verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, He's saying, you're not going to want every good thing I'll give to you. And again, it's a realignment of our thinking when we're not thinking right. Oh, and that's what this realignment, it does for us. So this is God's invitation of really thinking on things that are right. And you know, you got to go through this. This is the Lord Himself inviting you. Now, I just love verse 8. Oh, taste and see. Remember as a child, you just got to have one taste. All right? We don't make it, but you got to taste it. And you know what? I remember I was a very picky eater as a child. I was spoiled rotten. I was the only boy, so I got whatever I wanted. And so I put macaroni and cheese in front of me one time. And I didn't like the looks of it. And they said, well, just taste it. And boy, I'm glad I did, right? It's just one of my favorite meals, a part of the meal. But this is Christ, this is God coming. Oh, taste and see. Would you just taste and see what dependence on the Lord is? Would you just taste and see how good God is? It's that realignment, folks. And again, as you're going through this, you just need to be able to pray and take this back to the Lord. And you know, and remember we're told in Philippians 4, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice, you know, that whole passage. But then he goes on to say, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are what? Look at it, true, honorable, that whole passage. Think on these things. Because our battle is in our thinking. And we're going through some serious trials or physical afflictions. Because many of the afflictions of the righteous will get that. Whatever affliction you're going through, you must think the right way. Because if you don't, you're going to end up in trouble. So so we need to respond to the Lord's invitation. And then finally, 15 through 18, we need to recognize the Lord's presence. So if you would, start in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are opened unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against all them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth out of what? Here we go again. All their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as a contrite spirit. So this is so important for us to recognize, you know, the Lord's response here, because the Lord knows right where you are. Look at verse 15. The Lord knows right where you are and what your needs are. And the Lord is not against His own, verse 16. The Lord hears His own and delivers them. Again, all their troubles. And He is near you. You're never alone. There are seasons in a trial. Again, I praise God. My wife, she had to put drops into my eye. My eye was outside my socket. It was gross to look at. And she was the one that had to do it. And she was there. But she can't be there all the time. And folks, I'm begging you, during those lonely hours of despair, during those lonely hours, you've got to have somewhere to go. When your thinking is not right, you always got to remember, the Lord encamps around me. He invites me to come. I am never alone. I am His child. I'm a child of God. As a result of that, Lord, I'm calling You to deliver me from all my troubles. And, you know, it's so important, because we got to understand, okay, I got to ask, is the Lord punishing me? Is this accident punishment for something? Or is He taking me through a trial to purify me? And you ask these questions and you beat yourself up. You know, how can a full-grown man that's supposed to be mature let the workout band slide out from under his foot and hit him in the eye? That's kind of embarrassing. But you got to say, Lord, it happened. You know, what are you going to do? Lord, help me. Because we got to understand, it clearly says, the Lord is nigh unto them that have broken a contrite heart. He is near. So we've got to continue to search our hearts and understand these things. And then we've got to rely on God's promises. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many, many, many. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them broken. Of course, we know that's referring to Christ. Evil shall slay the wicked, but they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. So many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's kind of where this whole study started with me, because that's kind of where, that's the first verse that caught my attention in the psalm before the injury. So we got to understand, the Lord does deliver us out of them all, and He does protect us, and we must be very careful of what we're doing because of what we're thinking. And then I told you all the way through, this is an acrostic, right? A, B, C, until verse 22. All right, so why? So I think God's bringing our attention. Okay, so I give you all these promises, and then verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants. Okay, so there are some things here we need to understand of how good God is, because everything changes. So the Lord redeems His servant, and none of them that trust in Him shall be cast away, desolate, you know, thrown away is another way to put that. Because, you know, there are certain truths we need. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Why? Because you pass from death unto life. I think John 5:24, this is a great summary of salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He that heareth and believeth in it shall not come into condemnation. So that's a fact. When you're going through a trial, you got to understand, and the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants. Another great verse is, you know, Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So there was I had my first surgery, let's see, May 14th, first surgery was on May, they had to lift on May 28th, they went in and took 2 hours just to drain the blood out of my eye socket. That was because they couldn't go in until the eye got back in the socket. I'm not trying to be, I'm just telling you kind of the path. So, had surgery, a 2 hour surgery on May 28th. And so, 1 week later, on June the 4th, they were going in to repair the eye. And so, okay, this is what we're doing. Okay, we got it. And I'm sitting there. Now, these are the things you don't tell your wife. But I'm sitting there the morning of June the 4th getting ready for surgery. In the passage I read, my devotions, with that great passage on, you know, even the hairs on your head are numbered and a sparrow will not fall without Christ knowing, you know, this whole thing about the Father knowing. And I was convinced I was dying that morning. I was absolutely convinced that I would not make it through that surgery. And for 2 weeks I had, you know, my chest was hurting, my head was, I mean, everything was just a mess. And I was convinced. I mean, honest truth, I did not think I'd make it. I just read that morning, Lord, you know the hairs on my head. Spare fall. Okay. But like, so then I go back and look at verse 22. Lord, I know I'm redeemed. Okay. So, I mean, I'm not doubting my salvation. I'm not doubting where I'm going. But at the same time, you kind of hate to not tell your wife goodbye. You know, how do you do? I couldn't tell her what I was thinking. And again, I don't do anesthesia well. Let me say that. I would be a very cheap drug addict. I don't do anesthesia well at all. So I go into the anesthesia for the pre-op, and Gretchen had already gone out and or not come back in, whatever. So anesthesiologist comes in and says, how you doing? I said, I don't think I'm going to make it through the surgery today. And when you tell an anesthesiologist that, they take that little stool and they sit down and they come up right close to you. What did you just say? I said, I'm not going to make it. Why do you say that? I said, well, I was here 2 weeks ago and, you know, I've had this huge pressure in my chest and my head hurts and I don't think I can do another surgery. I feel so horrible. Okay. So she went back through all the notes. And, I mean, the long story short, it was the anesthesia. But it was real. Okay. I understand it was the anesthesia made me crazy like this. But, folks, it's real. And I don't care. In your trials, there's some things that are going to be real, but they're really not real. You with me? I mean, I'm not being schizophrenic here. I'm just trying to say, when you're in the middle of certain trials, you know, there's some things that get magnified. I mean, they get all out of whack. But verse 22 is still real. So I had to go back and anchor my soul. Even though I knew I was going to die that day, I knew verse 22 says the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. And I was anchored there for eternity. I just wasn't anchored there for the next hour. You know, the immediate... I understood the eternal. So all I'm trying to say is there are seasons that when you think you know what's going on, but we really don't. You follow me? I knew I was going to die. God had given me the verse. Lord, you just gave me the verse. The sparrow falls. I'm with you. You got me on this. I know I'm dying this morning, today. But that wasn't real. I knew it wasn't, but it wasn't. I knew it had to be real. God gave me this verse. But it wasn't real. So I'm saying that because sometimes in trials, we have physical afflictions. You know, chemo, whatever it may be, that can make us not dwell in reality. Right. But then again, I was in reality. I knew I was going to die. I was going to heaven. Okay, so what I'm saying, but anchor yourself in God's Word. Because even though I was a mess of what I was thinking, I still knew I was redeemed by what verse 22. All right, you with me? What I'm trying to say? Amen. So there are seasons when you go through this, that you just need to rest in God's promises. And again, that great passage in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. One of my favorite passages, you go back to the first part of Matthew 11, is when John the Baptist is in prison. In a fascinating passage, he sends his messengers to Christ. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now remember, who baptized Jesus? And Saul, you know, this is my beloved son. And you know, I mean, John the Baptist is no greater, is what Christ says about him. But he's in prison. He's thinking he should be delivered. Wait a minute. And he goes and said, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And then the rest of Matthew 11 plays out, and it says, come to me, all you heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Notice what it says in that verse. During that time, learn of me. So while we're seeking rest, and the promised rest of Christ says, learn of me. Learn. So during that, even in that, there is a time of learning. So what I'm saying, during your trials and afflictions, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So whatever we go through, the trial you're in right now, the trial you'll be in, your spouse will be in, your child will be in, whatever it may be, whatever those trials are, you can pray Psalm 34 aloud. Since I went through this with Psalm 34, I cannot tell you how many people either, you know, going through a severe sickness or on their deathbed or whatever. Hey, can we turn to Psalm 34 and read it? I mean, this is, when anybody's going, this is now my go-to passage. But it wouldn't be if I had not gone through what I went through. Now, the advantage of a patch is everybody knows I got a problem. Wherever you go. I mean, really. Little boys love it. Little girls run and hide. I mean, whatever the case may be. And I got a nice new scar because I had melanoma come back. So, man, I mean, pirates are very envious of my left side of my face. In fact, the surgeon who put me back together, when you have a surgery and one guy cuts you apart, another guy puts you back together, you got to say, okay, something's going on here. But he said, okay, look, I'll do the best I can do. I said, Doc, look at the face. I ain't got an eye. I already had two scars here, so one replaced two. I said, I'm not, as long as my wife doesn't leave me, I'm not worried about it. But really, I mean, so anyway, but what I'm saying is, I get a lot of pity or whatever, airplanes, because I got a patch. You can see my affliction. But I don't know what you're carrying that people can't see. It may be cancer. It may be some depression. So my plea is, if you've got that going on inside, first cry out to God. Okay, please do. Again, they can see mine. I can't see yours. But you may have hurts, real hurts. Life can be hard. If you've got that, there's something called the one another's of the New Testament. And that's the purpose of the church, to practice. You carry one another's burdens. And in Galatians, when it says that, that is a burden beyond what you carry alone. There are two of those, Galatians 6:1 and then Galatians 6:5, I think. But I beg of you, within this church, if you've got an affliction, something that you need help with, the one another's, you pray for one another, you love one another, you comfort one another, you carry one another's burdens. In Psalm 34, sit down and pray with somebody. Or get another passage. But brothers and sisters in Christ, don't go through this alone. Okay? Now, I was trying to spare my wife from my death sentence. Okay? You know, that morning when I was going to surgery, I didn't want her to know about it. But that was on you. That was different. So don't say, well, you didn't tell your wife. I got that. But what I'm saying is, in the context of this, you know, I just got to encourage you to get somebody to go down this path with you. Oh, taste and see. The Lord is what? Let us magnify Him. But you've got to be willing to do it God's way. And when you don't know what to do, open to Psalm 34. If you can't get on your knees, maybe in your bed and you can't get up, fine, read it out loud. If you can't read it, find it on your phone. Let somebody read it to you. I did all these audio programs. I'm just begging you to run to God. Go to His invitations and not run away from God. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. Father, You know the hurts of the body and the hurts of the heart. And you've given us sufficient information on how to handle that. Because Your Word is not simply ink and paper. It's alive and powerful. You have made it sufficient for everything we need in life and godliness. So, Father, I beg of You that we will run to You. We will take heed to Your instructions and we will find a comfort and encouragement, regardless of the situation we're facing or we think we're facing. So God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the attention of these folks this afternoon. I beg of You that You would use this to equip them to handle trials, as well as to help them help others in the midst of their trials. You're so good to us, and we thank You for being good and kind and gracious and loving in all that You are. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.